Hi, everybody. This is Nancy Miller from My Creative Life, the podcast about creatives, how and why they make the work that they do. Today, my special guest is Erin K. Robinson. Erin is an Emmy-nominated illustrator in the news and documentary category. Trained at the Parsons School of Design and the Cochrane School of Art, Erin's illustrations have been featured in the New York Times and the Washington Post, among others. She works in a variety of mediums that include watercolor, ink, markers, charcoal, stencils, collage, as well as digital artistry. She's the illustrator of A Library and the Magical Snowflake, written by Bernadette Ford. Hi, Erin. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. Pretty good.
Well, I'm doing great, and it's an honor to have you. Those who are listening to the podcast, I first came across your work when I saw A Library in my local library, and it was a book that I was so drawn to because of the illustration work. I was like, whoa, it was on the shelf with all the brand new books. And I was like, oh man, I have to take a look at it. And your colors, your textures, it's just so appealing. And so I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Now, also those people who are, because it's a podcast, but you are in a gorgeous location too. This is the one time I was like, I really wish I was doing video, but world traveler, which I saw on your Instagram. But
yeah, travel inspires me.
Wow. But where did that original love and passion to become an artist come from?
I definitely think it was in my DNA. I come from, you know, super creative parents. My dad is an architect, and both of them just really encouraged me artistically. And my grandmother, too. I mean, I just remember as a little girl growing up, she just had so much for me to sort of delve into. I was always making doll clothes or making shoes or just all sorts of fun things to get me going. So, yeah. So there was I had a whole lot of family resources to encourage me through the years.
At what point did you know that because I read in your bio that you had also delved in fashion design professionally, and I was like wondering, like, fashion design, children's book illustrator, which, you know, they do correlate, but I was like, how did you know that that was the leap that you were going to?
Do you know what's crazy? I knew I was a kid. My mom actually sent me, you know, some decades later, but I wrote a note to myself about what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said I wanted to be a fashion designer, a veterinarian. I still haven't become a veterinarian, but my love for animals, you know, I feel like, you know, it fulfills where I live. You know, we got like 11 dogs, 3 cats, and lots of birds and tortoises and stuff. So, what did I say? Fashion designer, veterinarian, and a children's book illustrator. I was very specific. And I used to make lots of books, you know, just take like notebook paper and doodle lots of things out and come up with all these stories. When I was a kid growing up, I was obsessed with this book called The Lonely Doll. But it was all these different photographs of this doll and hang out with these two bears. And I used to go check it out in the library all the time when I'm like in like elementary school. And then also as a kid growing up, there were books that inspired me, like Ezra Jack Keats, obviously The Snowy Day, Eric Carle, The Hungry Caterpillar. So I used to love all those books and the way that they use color and shapes to tell a story.
Amazing. And so you just kind of went for it. It sounds like you're so fearless, you know, because to me, like, it's high school art I've taught, and parents are very afraid of their student going off into the art. It's great to hear that there was no doubt that you were going to go for it.
There was definitely a time where, you know, you wanted to play it, I don't know, safe because of the, I don't know, how people sometimes can define an artist. I don't know, starving artists. I didn't, you know, quite see it like that. I'm here to hopefully mentor and show people that have that passion that, you know, you can do what you love. I feel like there's a need for the arts and to spread joy and beauty. And I mean, there's so many stories that can be told through just a picture alone. That's what I'm here to do.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, you did it with the magical snowflake, because when I first saw those initial spreads, that I just felt like I'd been taken away to this winter wonderland. I was like, they were so beautiful. It was like, it was very breathtaking. And I would love to hear more about that process of how you envisioned and created these lovely illustrations.
Well, I've been working digitally for some years now, but I've also am someone that loves to paint and to collage and to sew. I love texture. I'm fascinated by texture. It's so funny because where I am right now, and we're taking the boat over here in Lamu in Kenya, I love all those like old walls and the paint coming off and some things are rusted. Like those to me become canvases in my head. So I try to, you know, I either take photographs and emulate, you know, some of the things that I've seen in, you know, my travel journeys. I mean, even being, you know, doing a wintry wonderland book, I mean, I still feel like there's so much to draw from just, you know, from childhood memories and just, you know, a lot of the, you know, places that I've seen along the way. But the magical snowflake, I was really excited to do this book because one, it was a holiday book and it's joyful and obviously it's magical snowflake. So I kind of got to be in a more daydreamy state of mind, because I know a lot of the work that I do up on the side is a lot of, you know, more political based. So it was really nice to just draw feelings from my own childhood about what it was like. You know, I mean, I grew up in Washington, D.C. and in New York City a long time, so I know what a winter wonderland is like. This book was so much fun to do because I felt like I was kind of just drawing from my own childhood in a lot of ways.
Well, I can tell you had a lot of fun with it, and I wanted to ask you, because not only your beautiful textures, but you have a really beautiful handle of color. I feel like the colors, when I was looking at those illustrations, you know, they just, that feeling that you captured through the color use. And, you know, as an illustrator, I struggle with color. It's like not my forte. And can you offer some advice to listeners who might also struggle with color?
It's so funny because that is just something that I'm so drawn to. You know, color is my thing. And I don't even think I knew that until I started, you know, as an illustrator full time, because that is usually the compliment that comes back to me. Or even when I read like the reviews, like the critics reviews that I've seen, they always talk about the color in there. It even goes back to my designing days. It's so funny. I mean, there was a point that I actually overlooked the color department, you know, where I worked. And there used to be a little test that we would take. So they give you all of these little pegs. So there's like gradients from like black to white and everything in between. And then of course there's like the color run, and you'd have to like put them in one at a time, you know, so that you know, if you started white, then you ended black, but you had to get all the colors in between, right, leading up to it. And the same with the colors. And I just remember doing really well at that. Like color is so special. And another thing I think about is, what's the line from The Devil Wears Prada with Miranda Priestly, Meryl Streep, when she's talking about cerulean blue. And I remember, I get that. I totally get that. I'm going, oh, there's a difference between all the different blues and all the gradients. And I mean, I could go on and on and on, but just, it's so funny. I feel like the work that I do now, I actually get lost in it. My edit process is bananas because, you know, I am working digitally. So I might start off a certain way, but because I'm working digitally, I'm like, oh, but they need to see it in this hot pink way, or this, you know, this cerulean blue way, or all these different ways, you know, to get the whatever page that I'm trying to get across. I mean, there's so much emotion. Dream, live, feel. I love color.
Yeah, just the way you handled that. And then I liked how it felt like at the course of the day was happening because it tied into the color usage. I felt like that was just really well done.
Puzzle at times. I mean, you know, making sure, you know, one color coordinates with the other color, to tell the story and how it's all going to be together. I really love it.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. So I was wondering, you know, was that different as far as the process that you would take with maybe like a nonfiction book such as Brave Black First? I was just curious, like, you know, do you handle all of your book projects the same way as far as your process?
No. One, it depends on the subject matter, you know, your editors, your publishers, who you're trying to get across to. There's, you know, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. Brave Black First, that one was hard for me. One, it was like my first book that was like released. So it was a lot of learning for me and just how the illustration world works. So they had to drag me into the office to get that book put together because I can become laborious over my work, especially in the edit process and dealing with the colors and stuff. So, and because that one is, they're telling different stories about all many different women. That one was just different. Magical Snowflake, not too much. I mean, like I said, this one was ethereal and fun and magical. And I got to be more daydreaming and in my head about it. And that's who I am. That's what I love to do. And those are the kind of projects that I really like to take on now. I want to do dreamy, fun, joyful representation, you know, who I am.
And yeah. I was curious because since color is such a important part of your work, because there's always that process when we're working digitally and then the final, because then it's printed. Do you find that it's like, as far as the final book, because it's, and also because it's so long from when you finish the art and then you get the final book, has it really come together the way you envisioned it?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's always so exciting, you know, when I actually here I'm holding the book in my hand, when I see the final thing and it's not on my screen anymore or proofs, and you actually see the book, I'm like, oh my gosh, this turned into something. It's always super exciting. I feel that pretty much everything that I started from the process from beginning to end represented, and you know, once it becomes binded and hard copied and sitting on a shelf somewhere.
And then I was wondering, because you're traveling and you're juggling your freelance work and these book projects, do you have any tips for like work-life balance? Have you found things that have been conducive so that you can do all of these things?
I feel like it took me a minute to find it. I mean, one, I was, a corporate fashion designer. I was a VP at a company. And so I took a leap of faith and left a job that had certain kind of benefits to it, or an industry that, you know, that had certain benefits to it through the pushing of, you know, friends and, you know, my dad and certain people to share my artwork. It was very difficult at first, because I had to let go of a lot of things in order to kind of get to where I am today. So it was letting go, you know, like your job to your home to all the travel to, you know, all the little fancy things, your dinners. I like so much stuff, but there was something inside me. It took a minute, but it shifted. And then I ended up getting representation. And there I seemed to have, I don't know, I picked up, I got some sort of following. And I felt like I was doing the right thing. And then when I ended up getting representation, that opened up a whole lot of other doors for me. And I remember my agent, Marlena, she's like, you're going to start doing children's books. So I'm like, really? That's what my 10, 11-year-old self told me as well. And it shifted. But there definitely was a lot of sacrifice. And, you know, there were times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I made the right decision. Do I need to go back another job, how's it gonna work, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing, I was just busy. busy and doing, just getting project after project after project. It just kind of got better, you know, kind of like year after year. I feel like each year it's just kind of gotten more successful, more settled, more. And then I keep growing. I feel like I keep illustrating the stuff I go back and look at that I've done from, I don't know, maybe even 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that piece anymore, but okay, like I can see how I've shifted and become a better illustrator. At least I think. What the hell? But the work-life balance, it was hard at first. It was really, really hard. And I think because I took a minute, you know, like I said, leaving corporate and sort of reinventing myself, I felt like, you know, at this stage of my life, I felt like I was hustling for a minute, like trying to get myself out there, put myself out on the map, rushing in some ways. I was just trying to make it happen, but never, like I said, there's this little spark, this like little Tinkerbell something inside me, you know, and I know that there were naysayers, like, what is she doing? That there's just something in me that was like, this is what's going to happen. And here I am. And then just got to the point where I felt comfortable enough to sort of, I guess, leave my little cocoon and start traveling. Because I was trying to figure out, where do you want to like set up camp? Where do you want to live? How do you want this to work? And because what do they call them, a digital nomad, I started coming to Kenya to visit friends. And I don't know, it pulled me in. And so I kind of split my time between here and the States. I'm able to work from, you know, I'm able to, you know, work pretty much anywhere. And I feel like that has become my balance, my life balance. I'm in nature. I feel grounded. I feel like I'm able to handle the amount of work that is given to me now, happily and joyfully, and being super inspired because of the location that I'm in. And it works. Even the time difference works. Everyone's like, what about the time? I'm like, no, I feel like I'm in the future. It's like, we're good. Future. Like, oh my gosh, still have another day to work before they wake up. So it works. I like the kind of peacefulness that I have during the day where you guys are usually off still sleeping, and to take care of myself, slowly go through emails or projects or just sort of sort out my day. And then come around this time, you know, I'm just sort of ready. I'm ready. I mean, every now and then, of course, there's always a wrench thrown in somewhere. But for the most part, it works. I'm very happy. And like I said, it took a minute, but it's possible. And I made little lists for myself. I was always writing little notes to myself about either how to do such and such a show, or where I wanted to be at a certain time, or how I would make these little plans. So. But it wasn't always the smoothest, that's for sure.
That's so inspiring. I think that's amazing. And you know, you accomplished so many amazing projects and books, and there are going to be many more inspired from your travels. And I love this idea of this little notes, like writing these little, that's awesome. I think. And so if you could send one of those notes back to your younger self, what would you say to your younger self about pursuing this creative life?
It's so funny. Little Erin, it's like, I just want to like grab, like hold her by her cheek and just tell her how worthy she was and how right she was. You know, it was okay for her to be in her head and daydream the way that she does. It was just a creative force. That little girl knew who she wanted to be. And a time where, you know, I don't want to say it wasn't easy, but it wasn't like, I guess maybe the ultimate thing to choose as a career. She came here, her little star came here, and she's like, I'm gonna let it shine. She's like, it took a minute. It took a, you know, she went a, you know, some different routes, but still, you know, things that she wanted to do. And I was always a late bloomer. Everything. I was like tall and goofy and gangly and just, you know, it always felt like I was doing things maybe 10 years behind. But I knew what I wanted to.
Awesome. Well, you've had this amazing creative journey so far. Is there anybody you're grateful for that you
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I mean, wow, so many people. Is Brooklyn in the house? I mean, definitely my family, my parents, you know, they just, they, their guidance and in them just being creative themselves. And I really have, you know, my dad, I call him my dadager. He's just, he knew. He was the one, like, I went back to corporate for a second. He's like, make a plan, Era. He's like, make a plan. Might not be the plan that you want right there, but make a plan and I will help you implement your plan. He saw some of the things that I was doing. And I mean, he's always been into the arts. He got it. And I love when he's like, even when he looks at my work. I mean, I always share my work first, you know, with my parents. And I love when he looks at me, oh, it's so nuanced and did blah, blah, blah. You know, I love it. I always tell him, I think he's the reason why I stay on Facebook, because I love when he comes and leaves me little comments. That's sweet. Love dad. I love when he leaves like little comments. It makes me feel, I mean, we all want to be validated, you know, in some way, but you know, when it comes from my parents, it feels even more satisfying and exciting. I'm going, because I'm thinking, they're like, oh, and they're looking at their kid doing what, you know, brings them so much joy. So I know that makes them really happy. So I give them a big shout out, you know, and yeah, so many people, my friend Lorraine, my friend Elsa, they're ones that, you know, saw from the beginning, like, you need to stop this. You need to get out of that job and you need to share your work because you need to be doing that, blah, blah, blah. And my agent, you know, these people that really, I don't even like even talking to you. I don't think I was even as confident before really talking about my work. You know, I was very shy and I didn't want to share things. And now I'm like, what do you want to know? I'm gonna share it all. Very transparent, just open, and very much want to mentor and inspire, encourage anyone to, you know, just to let it out. Many people, and Kenya, I gotta, you know, this whole country. And the people here, you know, my friends Cynthia and Troy, they have given me a space to flourish and figure my life out in some way. And the next thing I know, I'm like, here, that's my family here. I'm very, yeah, I'm good.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And the last question I had.
Thank you for letting me ramble.
Oh, yeah. Love listening. Oh, my gosh. I was just so inspired. I was like, you know, sign me up for that. So it just,
I don't know if you heard, someone was like yelling from the screen, like, Aaron. And I was like, oh my gosh, in the back.
I think hearing that, you know, that you had to process these things, that it wasn't just like you had, you know, I think there's always this, and especially when I was teaching my high school students, they felt like there was this plan that was like, you had to follow the plan. And they would be upset if they yes. didn't get into their first choice of college or whatever. And I was like, and I would tell them, well, you know, that's not such a big deal because, you know, you can reapply. They'll take you as a transfer student. I mean, I don't know. It's like when you're younger, it feels like these things are like, if you miss that step of the rung of the ladder, like somehow it'll be devastating. But it's nice to hear from somebody who's so accomplished and they've done so much that confidence, the kind of the fearlessness to just take that leap of faith is fantastic to hear.
Thank you. Like I said, it took a minute. So I like to hopefully mentor, you know, some of the younger people. I'm like, just surrender. I remember being in India one time and my I had like this little breakdown. I was like, what's happening to me here? Feeling a certain way. And she goes, India. She goes, just surrender. And I've always taken that little saying, you know, when there are times when I'm, you know, doing in my own process. Surrender.
So this is a podcast and no one can see your beautiful work. Where is the best place to see more of your work?
Mostly on Instagram. I'm an Instagram girl. So I'm at Brooklyn Dolly, D-O-L-L-Y, Brooklyn Dolly on Instagram. That's pretty much where I put up my doodle bills.
Thank you so much for your time, Erin. And I'll
Thank
let you
know.
Truly a delight. And I know that the listeners got a lot out of it and the inspiration behind what you're doing and what you're going forward through with your book work. And I look forward to collecting more of your books and reading them. So
yeah, going back to my elementary school to do a reading, an art project with them. I'm thrilled.
to do this.
Shepherd Elementary School, there's another big thank you, because that's where little Aaron would get lost in the library and thrive. And, you know, I had two teachers, Miss Lewis and Miss L. White, that really inspired me as a kid to, you know, to illustrate and be creative. So I'm excited. Shepherd Mustangs.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to My Creative Life. Bye.